Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Sunday, March 11th, 2012. I'm Sam Mentor. Yvonne Bo is here.
Hello.
You know, I would be remiss if I didn't start today with my twice a year rant against daylight savings time.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I forgot. Here we go again. All right, go.
It'll only take 10 seconds. Daylight savings is stupid. There are all kinds of studies that have been done that, you know, ostensibly it's to, like, save energy and add to safety and blah, 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 all kinds of things like this. Time after time, studies have shown that at best it has no effect on those things, and at worst it actually hurts. You know, so it's completely and totally pointless. All it does is disturb everybody's life, cause, like, a disruption twice a year, cause everybody's sleep patterns to get thrown off, and, you know, some of the studies, for instance, show that in the week after daylight savings time, there's like a 10% increase in heart attacks, just from people, like, screwing around with their schedule and not having enough sleep, and there's increases in accidents on the road for the same kind of reason. All kinds of crap. It's just bullshit. They need to stop. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, all right. So let me mention something. I saw, you know, I've been, like, finding, like, cool little news tidbits. So I found, you know, last week I told you guys about the guys in China
who stole a bridge.
Well, this week, I found that apparently Lawrence County, South Carolina, okay, the local Republican Party has unanimously ruled that any potential candidate for elective office who hope to run in the primary must swear never to have indulged in premarital sex and to avoid pornography like the plague. So I guess that anybody who runs over there must be a liar?
Pretty much.
I mean, that's what I came. I'm like, well, that certainly narrows down the pool significantly.
A liar or the kind of person you really wouldn't want to do anything.
Yes.
It's like, really? What the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean, absolutely. Okay, great. So you want him to, but no porn all either. Done. So you can't get laid and you can't look at porn. I mean, how unnatural a person must this be?
You can get laid, you just have to marry them first.
but that's right.
Although the restrictions didn't specifically say so, I would assume that even if you're married, you can only have sex for the purpose of generating children.
That may be so.
And anything else, forget it.
But I did see that specifically stated. So anyway, I just thought that there's the Republican Party really reaching out and broadening their reach.
As they've been doing a lot of lately.
Yes. Okay. So, anyway. So, yeah. I thought that tidbit was quite amusing. So iPad! It's launched! Or no, we weren't going to go into that first.
We were going to do election first. But if you want to do iPad first, we can do... Basically, guys, our topics are going to be the election and the new iPad. We've got a couple other things if we have time.
Time permits. Yes. Well, let's go into the election first. Okay. So.
Yes.
Results! Summarize what happened this week, Sam. Go for it, if you can.
I can do that. Super Tuesday played out almost exactly as expected, except Romney did even better than expected.
That's right.
Bottom line, Super Tuesday, Romney improved his position quite a bit. The other guys started accelerating towards being mathematically eliminated from the contest. However, we still haven't reached the point where it's impossible for the three non-Romneys together to block Romney from 1144. He did, however, make it less likely. He moved away from that. So we had that. We had Super Tuesday. And then we had Romney do a sweep of the South Pacific territories.
Yay! The South Pacific. I'm sure he campaigned very hard there.
Well, no, actually... He is the only candidate, as far as I know, who sent people out there. He sent his son there to campaign.
Well, that's pretty good. Okay. All right.
One of his sons spent the last week in Guam and the Northern Marianas.
Oh, man. Well, it's not that bad.
And like, I saw on Twitter, like, one of the other sons, you know, was like, damn, he picks all the good assignments. I'm fucking going to Alabama. He's going to the South Pacific.
Okay, I will agree that Guam is still probably better, but I think, didn't they say that Guam had this invasion or plague of locusts or something recently?
I don't know what's going on in Guam. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure Guam is a lovely place to visit.
It's lovely. The South Pacific is quite lovely. I mean, I've only been to Hawaii once, but I've been to Australia too. But, you know, and both of them were quite lovely.
Yeah, so, Australia is not quite the same as a South Pacific island, but
yeah,
okay. Fine.
Yeah, I know, but it's, you know, it's in the, it is in the South Pacific.
Sort of.
Yeah, close. Yeah.
Anyway, so Guam and the Northern Marianas, he not only won, but he won every single delegate.
So, well, sweep, sweep.
And in fact, in Guam, there are only 200 some Republican voters in the caucus, and it was actually unanimous.
Wow, pretty impressive.
So, and by the way, there's one more South Pacific contest that's due on Tuesday. It's American Samoa, and Romney is also supposed to is expected to sweep that one. Because a fact I did not know before, but on a per capita basis, American Samoa has the largest concentration of Mormons in the world, even more than Utah.
Really? Wow. Yes. Okay. That I would have never guessed that.
So, and then we had more recently, Kansas and the Virgin Islands. So the Virgin Islands, Romney almost swept. Paul got one delegate out of the Virgin Islands. But then Kansas is where the fun was. Romney won Kansas. Ended up with 33 delegates to Romney's 7. And bottom line, you know, look, what, excuse me, not bottom line. One interesting thing was as we were going through the results in Kansas, the rules were really weird. So Romney, in order to, Romney's campaign, they, of course, they wouldn't explicitly say this, but they wanted to stay under 20%. They wanted to get as high as they could get without going over 20% in Kansas.
Why? What's the story?
Because in Kansas, the rules were set so that if there was only one candidate over 20%, then the delegates would be given out proportionally amongst all the candidates. If there were two or more candidates above 20%, then the delegates would be split only amongst the top two. And so what that meant in the end is that while Romney would get slightly more delegates if he went over 20%, Santorum would get considerably more delegates if he went over 20%.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
The split was going to be something like 25-4-4-4 or something like that if Romney stayed under 20%, but it became 33-7.
I didn't look at that in detail. Did he manage to stay under 20?
No, he went over 20%, so it ended up being 33-7.
Okay.
But Santorum actually ended up getting more delegates because Romney did better.
Right.
It's fun. Anyway, so look, all of this goes by. The net result of the whole week. Santorum did win the day with Kansas and the Virgin Islands. It's the first time a candidate other than Romney has actually improved their position since Gingrich won South Carolina, according to my tabulations anyway. Although if you counted Kansas, the Virgin Islands, and the Pacifics all in one day, that would not be the case anymore. But anyway, Santorum did win the day, but if you look at the whole week, the net result is the three non-Romneys are rapidly racing towards mathematical elimination. Romney is improving his position over where it was, but he's still not out of shooting distance of being blocked. If things continue exactly how they have been so far, he will get the nomination eventually. But if the non-Romneys do a little bit better than they have, they still have the potential of blocking. But again, just like we talked about last week, they have to do better than they have been in an environment where it is now mathematically, it's not impossible, but it's almost completely certain that absent a major catastrophe on the Romney side, they have no chance of winning. So they have to continue getting votes and delegates, even though they have no chance of winning, and continue to do so at a higher rate than they have been so far in order to block Romney.
So when do I release the secret pictures I have of Romney fucking a goat in order to do this? When do you think is the right moment?
Right after Tuesday, actually, because Tuesday, Romney is probably going to lose, although he's been catching up, so he might actually pull it out in Alabama or Mississippi or one of them. But if he doesn't, then you know they're gonna split the delegates in those two. Gingrich or Santorum is going to win one or both of those states. And so people will be looking at, oh, Romney is still not closing the deal, even though these are states he was never expected to win. So, you know, you could do a 1-2-3 punch by adding it right after that.
Okay.
But you know, if either some polls have had Romney closing the gap in even those deep South states.
Well, I think this is a momentum play now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what it is like everybody's like, well, he's winning.
Right.
The other guys have no chance of winning. Right. Therefore, why are we going to vote for them? And this is why I said, like, the chance of blocking still exists, but it relies on these guys continuing to get massive levels of support, even though it's clear they can't win.
Right.
And that's really tough. So Romney's probably going to do better and better. If Romney actually starts winning, like, even these southern states that he was never expected to win, then it's just... Then he's actually going to start moving towards the nomination very quickly. Look, this is what it's always been. We've said from the very beginning, look, guys, it's Romney.
Yes. And all the recent polls, by the way. You know, we've been having all these polls where Romney was blah, blah, blah. I mean, all the recent polls have been, like, just tilting it to Romney's favor. I mean, if I'm looking at, let's say today is the 11th. Let's look at the last few days of new polls anywhere, right? I'm not talking about, but say, you know, when is the Ohio? Wait, Ohio already happened. What am I talking about? sorry about that. So Romney, for example, let's say Wednesday after Super Tuesday, New York primary, Romney up 15 points. Alabama, Santorum is up, yes, by barely 4 points, for example. Okay. Right. I mean, that was the state where he was getting crushed, and now that gap's closed. California, Romney up 6. Actually, a new poll came out on Thursday on Alabama. Romney up 9. Okay?
In Alabama.
Okay, yep. Of all places. Then there were a couple of polls that came out with Gingrich with a +1, but Romney just 1 point behind. So they're all within. So Romney basically went from a position where a state like that, he wouldn't have won, and now he's like within the margin of error. Okay?
Yeah.
Mississippi, Romney up 8. So you're seeing Illinois, Romney up 4. So these are all the recent polls. It's all just all of a sudden.
Romney.
Yep.
And like you said, look, this Tuesday is Alabama and Mississippi, which are both states that everybody was like, there's no way Romney's going to come in fourth there. You know, that's what, yeah, or at least third. People were saying that like even a week ago. Like you said, polls have him ahead now in both states. If he wins Alabama and Mississippi, you know, anybody who's pretending that this race is continuing to go on is out of their fucking mind.
No, now, it works for CNN.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I mean, honestly, in order to, you know, it's still a delegate race. In order to be on a track to winning, quote unquote, Romney has to get like 47-48%. I'll pull out the exact stupid number. But... You know, he essentially has to get half the delegates, over 48.4%, in order to be on a track for winning. So if, like, Alabama splits three ways, for instance, on delegates, and so does Mississippi, because these are, they're weird rules, but it's partially proportional, partially whatever, you know, but Romney has to get half the delegates to actually be on track to winning. However, if he actually wins the popular vote in this, even if it's by a tiny, tiny margin, the narrative suddenly turns to it's over.
Right.
You know? Yep. And, it, you know, and like we said, it's over anyway. You know, none of the others have a chance to win. Their chance of blocking relies on them overperforming what they've done so far, even though they've been losing. You know, which is unlikely. So this is Romney, but if he actually pulls out these two states, then I think you're going to see the narratives, in even in the media who wants this to keep going, start turning around really quickly. You know, because,
yeah, no, I agree.
Because beyond a certain point, you just can't deny it anymore. The scenarios for Newt and Santorum and Paul to win are already gone. The scenarios impossible. For them to block are getting further and further away.
Right.
You know, so that's what the... Guess who's here?
You got visitors.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what to watch out for. Look, yeah, I say, look, there are two things to watch out for. If Romney actually just wins by even the slightest margin the popular vote in these two states, the media narrative starts turning, and then he'll start wrapping this up in the next few states afterwards. If you see him actually breaking 50% in delegates, then it's going to very rapidly move towards him cinching this.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, I think it's the perfect moment to take a break.
Sam, I think it is. It's time to take a break. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about iPad stuff, except for... Oh, there we go. My mouse is working again. Okay, we'll take a break. Alex is trying to take my keyboard and mouse from me, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Yeah. Okay, let's get started.
Kobe.
Okay, welcome back. It's Sam and Yvonne, and I tried to distract Alex, but he may still make noise here. So, iPad.
iPad.
Okay, iPad. All right. The all new right. iPad. Not the iPad 3, not the iPad HD, the new iPad.
The new iPad, right. Which is kind of interesting, but anyway, all right. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to call it an iPad anyway. So, yeah, whatever.
So... It's pretty much what everybody expected.
Right.
Yeah, so it's got the Retina screen. It's got the 4G LTE stuff. And it's an iPad. What else is there to say?
I think that obviously that most of the features are the stuff that people expected. I don't think that there was anything that... That's surprising. And of course, we expected the price drop on the previous iPad 2, which now they've got the iPad 2 with 16 gigs and Wi-Fi at only $399.
Yep.
So that's also as expected as well. The one I will say one thing. I mean, we're going, one thing about the iPad and what a couple of people that I've been reading have been remarking. I think that everybody, it seems to think that the biggest game changer really is just the Retina display. Okay, all right?
Yeah.
It's difficult to appreciate just when you're talking about it. It's a thing that
you
everybody says,
look,
you have to just see it. Okay, because if you don't see it and compare it, you don't see it, then you don't realize what they're really talking about. When you're talking about a resolution that is, basically, I was reading today, it is the highest resolution display that is available on any laptop, even on any laptop, period. Okay,
yep.
All right. It's, I mean, that's...
And to be clear, not necessarily resolution in terms of number of pixels, but in terms of dots per inch.
Yes, and the dots per inch and everything, right. So the one thing about it is that I think what I was thinking about this is that it used to be, Apple used to launch products like this that had the best resolution or the best color and whatever and whatnot, but they always had one problem. They were so expensive that nobody wound up buying them.
And okay? Now it's right.
Right. They would say, yes, we have the fastest and the best freaking computer or whatever and whatnot, and it's $7,000. And everybody was like, great. Now, Apple is at a revenue tipping point and leverage with suppliers in which they could go and they could launch the iPad with the highest resolution screen on the market starting at $499.
Yeah, cheaper than everybody else. And shutting them out due to, you know, buying up all the supply of that too so that nobody else can do it too. I was also reading Apple also owns a number of patents on technology to make the picture work when the densities are that high that may also be blocking other people.
Right.
You know, but look, you know, the cachet is still out there. You still hear people occasionally talking about, like, you know, but Apple's so expensive. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
And it hasn't been.
When you can get an iPad 2 at $399 with Wi-Fi versus buying a Fire, okay, say for example, at $199, I'm like, I'm sorry, but you're getting more than twice the product when you're going from that $199 to $399 price point. I mean, I think, you know, you're certainly. I mean, and you look at the competitive landscape. I'm talking about the Fire because it's one of the most, you know, the most popular second items. But you look at all the Galaxy Tabs, the Motorola Zoom, the Playbook, the this, the that, all of this shit. It blows them all away.
Even in the more traditional spaces, when you look at desktops and laptops and stuff like that, yeah, you still hear about the Apples being more expensive, but when you look on a feature-by-feature basis and match comparable products, they haven't been more expensive in many years.
Right.
It is true that in some of those app markets, Apple never competed in the deep discount space of the really cheap stripped down computer.
Right, because they never sold a cheap stripped down computer, period. Okay? Right. That was the reality. Yes.
I'll fix it. Yeah, so let me fix this over here. You keep talking.
So basically, I mean, I think that's the one thing that you see in terms of, like, for example, you have a, you're able to buy right now an iPad with this incredibly high resolution screen, okay, 4G LTE, okay, all these, you know, quite a number, you know, extra great battery life and all these things. Starting price. Well, actually, let me see. With 4G LTE, let me see what the price is, because I think it's $599.
The 4G adds like $150 or something.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see. I'm in here. Select an iPad. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you planning on buying one anytime? Do you have an iPad?
I do not have an iPad. I wanted an iPad. Then I was waiting for the iPad. I was never going to get the iPad 1.
$629.
Here's my deal. I was never going to buy the iPad 1. Then I really wanted an iPad 2, but that didn't work out for a number of reasons. Then I was like, okay, but I'm definitely getting the iPad 3. But then I like blew the budget on the car I got, so I'm like, I'm out the iPad this year. That was part
You're
of
out
the deal.
An iPad.
that was part of the deal. I got the car that I want that was significantly more expensive than what I'd initially budgeted, and part of that deal was, okay, no iPad.
Damn.
Yeah, so at least next year, probably, unless I get surprised, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I must admit, I do like our iPad. I mean, I use it pretty often. I mean, it's quite neat, and I have an iPad 1, I mean, let's face it, so I'm like, you know, not...
I'll print out a picture of an iPad and pretend.
Oh, there you go. Well, I've seen other people do that. Well, you know, the other day I saw there was a guy that was in China who decided to try to buy everything, every fake possible thing he could buy, like a major brand. So he bought a fake iPhone. He bought a fake iPad. He bought a fake Louis Vuitton. He bought fake Ray-Ban sunglasses. Fake Hugo. I mean, he was like completely draped from top to bottom. But the one thing is that if you looked at both the fake iPhone and fake iPad from a distance, I mean, it looked, I mean, they looked like it. Now, he did fire them up, and yeah, it was really, yeah, it was pretty crappy shit. But they sure as hell look like one, though.
I hear you. I need to stop for just a second. Say goodbye, Alex.
Bye.
Bye, okay. Alex.
We'll be back in just a second, or I will be, hopefully.
Please hang up and try again.
Brownie! Come over here!
Please hang up and try again.
Oh, God. Hold. Jeez. Fucking Christ. Stupid dog! Damn it!
Please hang up and try again.
Hello? Not here yet.
Please hang up and try again.
Okay, I'm back.
I'm back.
Sorry about that. Okay. Where were we?
iPad, pricing, stuff, things, and, you know, but, so I think we, you know, we covered a lot of it already, and the price point, and how it's better, and...
I'll tell you one thing that we hadn't covered yet, which is, as usual with these things, you're getting sort of a lot of people, and not as much as sometimes in the past, but you're still getting people going... Yo, this is an incremental upgrade. This is giving the chance for all the competitors to catch up. Yo, this is disappointing. There's nothing revolutionary here. Yo, this, you know, everybody else is going to jump on the fact that Apple, like, is whiffing on this one. And all the other tablets are going to catch up. And look, you know, first of all, like you said, the Retina screen really is a game changer. It's not like it's nothing.
Right.
But even absent that, you know, I bet you anything, their sales of iPads will just continue to skyrocket. You know, they're going to sell more of these new iPads than they did iPad 2s.
Absolutely.
You know, yep. And really, you know, they are still a generation, at least, you know, ahead of everybody else.
You know what, somebody was mentioning today is that even, you see,
Go ahead.
One of the things that you get with Apple, you know, we talked about this before. It's a consistent user experience. Somebody told me, and I didn't realize because I've only grabbed a couple of times an Android, tablet, and for the most part, I've used a web browser and not used any of the other apps. But what somebody mentioned to me, and I didn't realize this, that they all use different email apps, and that the user interface is incredibly inconsistent, even from tablets from the same manufacturer, because they don't even put the same email app on each one. Okay,
right.
And how to almost anybody who say, okay, so you bought a Galaxy Tab from a couple of years ago, and you grabbed the upgrade, and you're thinking you're going to get something like, let's face it, you're going to get an incremental upgrade on that software inconsistent. No, you get something totally different that has nothing to do with the other one, and you're sitting there like a frustrated idiot wondering, what the fuck? You know, why can't I do the same shit I used to do before? Well, because they're using a totally different mail app that had nothing to do with the other one.
And there's always one, like, sort of pure Google phone, the Nexuses,
right.
and those things. But that's such a tiny fraction of the overall market, you know?
Right. So I think
that's talking phones too. I don't think there's been a pure Google Experience tablet yet.
Right. No, I haven't seen one. So anyway, so I think that that's one thing where still everybody is just because of how everybody is playing this. They're still not in the user experience. They're still not there. And I think that just the consistent marketing distribution, and let's face it now, it used to be that Apple was the small little company competing against all these giant guys, right? And having difficulty getting distribution. That's not the case anymore, people. Apple is the world's largest computing company right now, okay?
They're right on the edge of the world's largest company, period.
Period. Okay? All right? Right now, in terms of being able to, it's not like it happened 20 years ago when Apple launched a product and all these other big companies were able to muscle them out somehow of the market or something or whatever. Forget about it. That's not the case now anymore. There is nobody coming in with more resources and more money and muscling them out of anything right now in that way. Not by brute force. The next company that's, you know, even if they catch up entirely in the features, it doesn't fucking matter right now. Right now, what they've got to do is what Apple did in order to get to this position, which is you got to come up with whatever the next best thing is.
Right. You
because
if your entire plan is based around let's try to do what Apple did last year,
you're fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, forget it. That is not going to get you anywhere at this point. But
like you said, the main competitors at this point, and there's not too much I can say on this topic, but the main competitors at this are like in the tablet space are ones that are selling the actual hardware, you know, potentially at a loss because they're selling media.
Exactly.
You know, right. And
because their interest is not selling the hardware, their interest is selling the media. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's really a different model. It's really a different space. What they're trying to target is not quite exactly the same audience.
Nope.
You know, and the people who are trying to target Apple directly are failing miserably.
Right. Yep. Yep. So I think that that's the key in this. That I think that right now, you know, people are doing. Well, people are doing what Apple did, like, for a while, like, very unsuccessfully. And why Steve Jobs went and very intelligently said at when he came on board, he said, you know what? We lost the war against Windows. It's over. They won. We got to win the next war, whatever the fuck that is. And that's what they did. So whoever's coming in right now, they better be thinking about what the hell the next what the next product is. Or what it is, because right now, if what they're trying to do is just out-muscle them on this, they're just going to get they're not going to get anywhere. That's
well,
why.
And like you, one of the things that I you mentioned, I can't remember if you mentioned it in the episode yet, but you've mentioned before certainly, and it's been in the press. You know, Apple is buying up all of the supplies from the supply chain that their competitors might use.
Right.
From years back, there was talk of, you know, all the flash memory in the world is going to fucking iPods.
Yes.
You know, and more recently, you know, it's high resolution displays and things like that. And, you know, and so the questions are going to start arising before too long if Apple is abusing monopoly power.
A monopoly power. Absolutely.
You know,
totally.
I don't think they're quite there yet, but, you know, before too long, you're going to start hearing things about that and about whether or not there should be action taken against Apple because they're unfairly leveraging their position, you know, and to squeeze out competitors and things like that. But, you know.
Now, here's another thing that happened this week, which I think is, like, less relevant. They did launch a new Apple TV, okay?
Yep.
And they did launch it that it has a 1080 progressive HD thing, okay?
All right.
Which sounds all good and dandy. Except my problem has been, look, I mean, I have an Apple TV, and
but you know, have one of the older ones where you can actually buy stuff, right? As opposed to all streaming.
Right.
Because the new ones are all streaming, right?
I know the new ones are all streaming. But here's the thing, my experience has been with these that I only buy standard def movies. Because
really?
Because anything HD takes way too long to watch. I gotta wait like half an hour before I can watch an HD movie. Mm. If I go and I get an SD movie, I can start watching it in a minute.
Right.
So I have been buying, for the most part, all SD content.
You need a faster internet connection, Yvonne.
Well, I think that the point is that I think I have a pretty fast internet connection. I think the problem is that I think that even though I do have because I have UVerse from AT&T, which is pretty fast, okay, it's still not fast enough really to download HD content to be able to watch it like inside a minute or two.
So now I guess my connection's faster than yours. Like I can stream HD content, no problem.
You are able to stream HD content?
Mm. Yep.
I think I'm
streaming 720p, not 1080 though, but.
Okay,
yeah.
But my point about it is that I think that most people, okay, let's face it, I have what is deemed like, if I go into DSL reports or whatever, I have a connection that's faster than 85% of what the people are watching, 85 to 90% of the U.S. population. And if that's the case, and I can't watch it, then how can this become really mainstream?
Well, you know, it's a matter of time. They're putting the infrastructure in place as things grow. I mean, this may be the case right now, but chances are 3 years from now, your download speed
are going
to be
considerably
more.
I agree.
You know?
They are. I agree. I just want to bring
And also, it's like one of those barrier-to-entry things that regardless of the practicalities of actually using it, people considering buying it are going to go, it doesn't support 1080p? Well, screw that then. This other guy does.
Well, okay. I just, you know, for shits and giggles, okay, right now, I just went and I just, on a computer, I just purchased an HD. I just saw that I was looking at the cover page for you know, the announcement for the Apple TV, and I realized that they launched this this documentary that I've been wanting to watch. Okay, and so I just went, I just bought it in HD because I wanted to actually watch the documentary in HD. I'm not going to watch it right now. I'm going to watch it later. Let's see. It is saying right now that apparently it is going to be able to download it in 72 minutes. Now, well, I have not tried.
But here's the thing, too. You should be able to start watching it before that 72 minutes is up.
Yeah, and it's saying to play movie now. Now, that's the thing, though. I had before avoided it because it had been taking too long. I think that I haven't tried it in a while. And maybe the speed of the, you know, either they're, I don't know, like the size of the content or whatever, maybe they've done something that I'm able
Well,
to
they actually out. Have. Part of the improvements they've done are better encodings that have this, theoretically the same quality in a smaller file, etc. So now one of the things they play around with is...
Yeah, because it told me Senna's ready to watch already in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I had avoided it. I hadn't tried it. Okay. All right. I stand corrected then.
So, but one of the things they do play around here is like 1080p, for instance, versus 720 doesn't tell you everything there is about the quality. It also really is affected by how it's compressed. And so, like, for instance, you know, a 1080p downloadable movie is still not going to be as good a quality as a 1080p Blu-ray of it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're both 1080p, but the Blu-ray is less compressed.
Right.
And just as when you're watching over television, if you actually get rabbit ears and pull down the HD signal off of the air, it's completely uncompressed, and you'll get 1080p full quality uncompressed compared to like what you get through cable or satellite, which will be compressed. So yeah.
And by the way, depending which vendor, it's far more compressed than others. I will tell
you
this.
Yes, absolutely.
UVerse is incredibly ridiculously compressed.
Well, what they also do is it varies highly by channel, and sometimes they even vary based on what's on.
Right, depending on the program. Right, they try to go and like reduce compression on certain programs. Like say, for example, if they're showing the Super Bowl, for example, they will try to not compress at all. For example, but you're watching some HD movie on American Movie Classics. Fuck that! At the same time, screw that. You're gonna get crap.
Let alone if you're watching like let's pretend C-SPAN HD existed. If it did, they'd compress the hell out of it.
Oh, they'd compress the shit out of that. Oh my God. You know, yeah, so they do that, I mean, in order to manage the bandwidth. I mean, and I've noticed that. I mean, you know, like, I go between, like, say, DirecTV to watch, like, certain channels versus UVerse. I mean, the difference is quite dramatic. I mean, almost every time I'm watching something on UVerse, and it's my brother-in-law who has the same TV as I do at his house as mine. The only difference is UVerse. And I'm like, there's so much pixelation on the programs when I'm watching UVerse, especially on the action shots, okay, right, on UVerse. Versus I come home and I'm watching the same program and there's no pixelation at all, okay, on a lot of the programs, or much less, okay. So, yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it varies a lot. And so, you know,
The interesting part was you were willing to put up with SD. And, you know, that's a choice that, like...
Well, I was willing to put up with SD in order to be able to, say, watch programs on demand instead of... I would rather... And actually, I will say this, that the SD quality that they send on that, it's not... I mean...
It's really ED or whatever.
It's ED, exactly. It's ED. It wasn't really SD, okay? So it's decent, okay? And so let's face it, for the convenience of me having to go to Blockbuster,
This is the bottom line on all this stuff, is that, you know, quality is something that, yeah, theoretically you like the higher quality, blah, 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 but if there's any trade-off whatsoever, almost everybody is happy looking at a little bit lower resolution, a little bit lower quality. And frankly, for most things you watch, it doesn't make that much of a difference, and you're not paying that close attention, and you're not sitting close enough to your TV to really notice the pixels anyway.
Right.
You know, and so...
Well, let me give you an example. I mean, I can tell the difference between higher quality and lower quality audio, but it used to be when I had an iPod that was only 4 gigabytes... I mean, I would not try to do lossless, capture of CDs. I mean, I just couldn't make enough room. Now, there was a certain point below I wouldn't like use, so I used like about the lowest I would go is about 128 kbps, okay, for MP3s, but I wouldn't go below that. Now, let's face it, when storage became far more available and I could get an iPod, like I have a 120 gigabyte iPod that I use for my music, I'm like, screw that, I'm freaking everything is on high quality. I mean, you know, the whole thing. I'm like, because there was no compromise. I mean, there I was compromising portability for quality, and I'm like, Jesus, when I had to like reduce it that my music library, I could only carry 25% of the music I wanted. I mean, you would do that trade. I'm like, over here, for example, let's face it, I got to wait an hour to watch a movie I want to watch now versus I can start watching it now. Screw it, we'll go with a lower quality. But if there's no trade-off on that, well, hell, of course I'll take the higher quality. Give me that. So, anyway, it just all depends.
Anyway, got trade-offs. iPad, it's out. They're going to sell shitloads of them. Unfortunately, not one to me.
Not yet, anyway. Hey, you got, what's your birthday?
September.
Well, I have to start taking a. You know, I have to
start taking a collection.
Start getting a collection. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'll put a little tip jar on my webpage, and yeah.
There you
go. I'll do the whole thing. Yeah. Every week I'll beg, please, please, I want an iPad.
I want an iPad. All right.
No. Anyway, so we. I can't tell how long it's been because I had so many breaks trying to take care of Alex. So you needed to go somewhere, Yvonne.
I need to make it to a lunch.
So I think this will end up being a relatively short show, but oh well.
But interesting, nonetheless, we
hit our two main topics, and everything else was kind of whatever. So
yep.
You're not missing that much.
No.
So thanks everybody for joining us, as usual, email me abelsmay@abelsmay.com. And tune in again next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.